Come on, yes, I'm here. I'll try and keep things fairly brief so we can get on to the AGM. But I do feel I have something to say as well, so bear with me. We'll pray to start with. Dear Lord, we thank you for today, and Lord, just really pray that the words that I speak will just really, the message that I bring, that you'll just use it to touch people's hearts, Lord. Certainly won't be eloquence or delivery. But Lord, just really pray for your presence to be here in Jesus' name. Amen. Whenever I'm asked to speak, the difficult thing I find is how to start, and the difficult thing the people listening find is how to get me to stop. So please bear with me as I get going. How do I fit? That's up there already. I just wanted to share a little bit about our journey. We've been away for 6 months this year, doing a discipleship training school with Youth for the Mission in Hawaii. And, you know, going into that, there's a number of factors that we had to sort of lean into God on and trust in his character. And, you know, the journey we've been on, and also, obviously, for myself, with the legacy of my parents and seeing their example as well, there were certain aspects of God's character that I could easily call on as saying, well, I know God is faithful, and I know God's a provider, and I know God is caring and loving, and I know God that likes, God is interested in social justice, and he is a just God. So all these things we could pull on. When we were going, you know, you've got a number of other things you're looking at, you know, How does society see this, you know? How does this look from the outside? You know, what are people thinking here? You know, we've heard a call on, this is what we feel God has called us to do. We're responding to that call, and part of that is selling the house and giving up the job and all this kind of thing. And, you know, you talk to people who are experts in sort of stress management or these sorts of things. They talk about the high stress things being, you know, changing, moving house and leaving a job and all this sort of thing. And certainly there's no lack of contributory advice that comes when these matters come. And so you need to be really sure of, you know, what God's calling you to. Obviously through that journey, you know, there's some difficult times, of course. You know, part of that leaning in was departing when Mum was ill. And that was a very difficult thing for us. We only found out, I think, about 5 days before we left, the actual diagnosis. But at that time, the prognosis was very good. You know, talking 2 years kind of thing. And so we left. And going on through this journey, we get about 10 weeks through our time in Hawaii. The DTS is a 12-week lecture phase, followed by 8 or 9 weeks of outreach somewhere. And you get a call from home or an email initially, things aren't looking too bright, maybe you want to return and visit Mum before you go to Europe. It'd be much easier to come back from Hawaii than coming back from Europe. And obviously in the time made that decision and came back, Mum had deteriorated even further. And most of you well know that Mum actually passed away during that time. So now, if we come back to, you know, where does this fit, God? Something doesn't seem right here, you know. Don't know what sort of journey you're taking us on here. You know, what are you trying to teach us, and where do we go from here? You know, several questions. Do we journey through with the funeral, jump on a plane and go straight back? Do we wait here, support Dad, the rest of the family? But not only them, it's not like, well, I'm a hero, I can support people, but am I actually going to have enough support myself? Or, you know, and for the family, for my wife and children. You know, what do we do here? You know, where does God sit in all of this? And took a fair bit of prayer and consideration, what are we going to do? And obviously we went back. But that was, you know, definitely a very difficult decision to pray and go back to, hey, this is what God called us to in the first place, you know. We need to continue through It's what Mum would be happy with. It's what Dad would be happy with as well. But ultimately, you know, what's God called us to? What message are we passing on to our kids? We want to pass on a message of being faithful to God's call. So we went back over, and there were several times. We were in Norway and England, which is where we went on outreach, where we're asking, where does this fit? You know, here we are, you know. We're away from home, we're Skyping Dad, Skyping brothers and sisters, and, you know, it's sort of like a little bit isolated feeling at times. But through it all, we could see how faithful God was in pulling us into a place where he could comfort us and also use the circumstances of that we were going through to minister to other people. And it's quite surprising the number of people that we came across where we were able to use, not use that circumstances the wrong way, but where God was able to use that as an opening to talk to other people. And you could really see God's faithfulness and his journey there, and that was the right fit for us at that time. And by the time, you know, we got home, it was time to come home. But we were able to minister and speak to a lot of people. There were along the journey a couple of people, actually completely outside of the team we were with, who were able to minister and speak into our lives as well. And so we could really see, you know, God's faithfulness through this, going back to his original call and, you know, what we could bring to the table. And one verse that came up quite a lot for me was in 1 Corinthians 12 verse 7. It's not one I've written down, unfortunately, so best guess. talking about the Spirit. Impressing on us for the common good, you know, about, you know, for the, you know, the manifestation of the Spirit, that's it. The manifestation of the Spirit in each individual for the common good. And we could really see that as we move through, we could see, okay, you know, God's given us, Fiona and I and the girls were able to minister as well. God's given us specific things that he's implanted in us that is for the common good. And so in that particular team, we could see, here we are, that's it up there. In each situation, we could see, you know, we were involved in, you know, counselling some couples who were going through some real marriage difficulties, young people who were really struggling with lots of different issues that they were going through, you know, what am I going to do here, and all this sort of thing. And it's not to say if we weren't there, it wouldn't have happened, but it's just to say that we could see God's faithfulness as he called us through and as those steps went through. And so that brings me back to a little bit of using my story to talk about what I think God wanted me to speak about today. So we look here at Romans 12, 4-8. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. Giving, give generously, lead diligently, mercy, cheerfully, and so on. And this is the call for us as the church. This is the original call for us as the church. You know, how do we do church together? You know, we do church together as a body. We come together as a body with the manifestation that the Spirit has given to each of us for what we can bring for the common good. My message this morning is perhaps in line a bit with my heart when I left, of like, what is the good in this, or, you know, what do I have to offer, or, you know, it's a little bit about me. And as I went round the place, I sort of see a little bit of a common pattern here, which Ed's clicked on bits of it, but within the church, how are we going with this, you know? That's my question this morning in terms of where do I fit. I think probably in the Western culture a lot, church is varied a bit away from this, where, you know, turn up late and grumpy because the kids weren't ready. Oh no, that person's leading worship. Oh, it's not that elder praying today. It was wonderful, wonderful. Yeah, exactly. all these kind of things, you know. We're very much, you know, living in the Western culture. I talked to a Chinese guy, actually, when we were in Kona, and he was there out of China. I was talking about how does church work in China, you know, his one. And he said, it was very interesting. He said, we had a American pastor come to visit, you know, and we were talking about the challenges we have here and, you know, what the different trials and circumstances that they come under, you know, when they're under suffering and persecution. And he said this American pastor came and they're saying, oh, what's the difficulties you have? And he said, I'm translating for him. And he said, the whole of my congregation is laughing, you know. And I'm thinking, you know, I knew what he was saying, but afterwards he's like to me, why were they laughing? And he said, I went around the congregation and asked a few of them, and they said, oh, because he's not speaking the truth. Hang on, am I still alive? He's not speaking the truth. He's lying. And it's like, what do you mean he's lying? He says, well, he says stuff like, people leave his church because they don't like the worship. People leave his church because they don't like the children's worker. People leave the church because of whatever else, because of the sound, because of this and that. He said, that simply can't be. Why would anyone leave a church? It's so hard to establish a church. Why would anyone leave it? You know, that was a real challenge to me, of like, you know, where are we at as a church? You know, are we pulling into this? Are we looking at that 1 Corinthians 12:7 of like, you know, do we wake up in the morning on a Sunday? And it's not just about Sunday. Those of you that thought that, you know, you've got my point. You know, you're the ones that need to repent. It's not just about church on Sunday, but you know, how many of us wake up at church on Sunday and think, I can't wait to get to church to use the gift God's given me to bless other people and to build up the family of the church? You know, how many of us are doing that? I mean, this guy, and I said, oh, you know, how does it work with your prayer and fasting and so on? He says, prayer, fasting and repentance of the church happens when we, this is this Chinese guy, when we stop coming under persecution. He says, because we read, you know, well, you know, if you're doing what God, you know, he says, Paul says, talks about several times, you know, if you're doing what God wants, you guarantee persecution. So if we stop coming under persecution, we start praying and, you know, pushing under God, you know, why? What are we doing wrong? Are we not being sharp enough? Are we not being countercultural, you know? Are we not close enough to the edge of what we're wanting to do? And I just sort of wonder, as a church body in the West, and I'm not just talking about us, are we sort of slightly leaning a bit more towards this verse in Ephesians 4, where it talks about a very similar thing, but Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, to equip his people for the works of service, so the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, becoming mature and attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves, and goes so on and so on. But my point is here that I think sometimes we tend to, and I'm not speaking out of my own position or anything like that, but I think sometimes we tend to look towards the leaders and the elected officials and the paid ones and so on, and negate our own responsibilities, you know. What is it that's going to get you up in the morning? What is it that's going to get you passionate? That's not to say people that some people aren't on a journey. We're all on a journey, as you could see from me talking about my journey with Mum. It was very difficult, and there was times when I was like, what on earth am I doing here, you know? And I'm just hoping there's not times where you're sitting in here thinking, what on earth am I doing here? There's times where you're sitting in here thinking, man, I can't wait for this to finish. I want to go and pray for somebody. I want to go and encourage somebody. My gift's hospitality. I'm going to invite someone around from the church who's looking like they're struggling, you know? My gift's this, my gift's that. Whatever God's impressed on your heart. I know it's a bit of a tough thing to be thinking about, but, and maybe you haven't thought about that, you know. What is it actually that God's gifted? Maybe that's a good discussion for you to have in your engaged groups this week, you know. What is it? What have we got in our group? What have we got that we can use to bless as a group? What have we got as we can use to bless as individuals? What can we bring along? Yeah. What can we get up on Sunday and be excited about getting to church about to do? Sorry, just going through my notes here. I think in terms of that character, the thing is when, well, written down here, when you come to accept the circumstance you're in as being able to use by God, only then will you see true fulfilment in that situation. And that was the situation for me. I was off there a little bit, you know. What am I doing here? I don't know why God have you put me here. Yeah, a bit of bad attitude, like I'm talking about, you know. Coming in with the wrong attitude. But God really convicted my heart and came to a point of like, no, God, I know you've got me here for a purpose and for a reason. And only at that point when I could accept the circumstances I was in was God able to use me fully in those circumstances. So I just encourage you, it's not always easy and it's not always there, but for me, I want to be in a position where those aspects of God's character, I saw God as a comforter for, you know, probably one of the first times, you know, see that aspect of God of being the comforter, you know, being, you know, and as I said, the provider, the just God, the, you know, all those things, you know. I want to be leaning into God's character so heavily, if he moves, I fall over, you know. But I think a lot of the time we're leaning the other way. Oh, I don't want to take the risk. I'm not willing to take the risk, you know. At Katz, I'm still safe. I'm still in my safety zone, you know. God wants us to step out, take a hold of who we are, lean into him so much so if he moves, I'll fall over. Are you in that place, you know? Where are we at with that? And for me, I'll just flick through. I was looking at this. This is a jigsaw puzzle. And this is the part with the church, looking at, well, you know, we see the gaps. It's easy to see the gaps. But you know, one thing I've found is that often, except if I criticised worship, you'd never want me singing, just quietly. But worship is awesome, so that doesn't matter. Often, I think, this is how it actually is. It's beautiful. It's this. There's such a big piece, but who's done a puzzle and got to the end and there's one piece missing? You know? You see my lounge? See my lounge when the missing piece of puzzle is gone, and then you sit up and find it's underneath you. You may not be able to see, but in the middle, diving dolphin or whatever it is, there's a piece missing in the head. But I think sometimes when we're looking at the church, we see it a bit more like this. I can see the missing piece; it's so obvious to me. You know, maybe you need to start asking yourself the question. If you're seeing the missing piece, is that because God's calling you to fill it? Has God given you a heart in that area? You want to stand up and ask the question, am I the one? Should I be talking to someone in leadership or oversight in that area and saying, hey, here's a gap, you know, I think I can do something here. You going to stand up and take the risk? You going to lean in and see what God's got for you? I like this one. This was for me what it was all about. This is forgiveness, this Greek word, I think it is, aphemi, used 120 times in the New Testament, and about a third of those in regards to forgiveness. And the reason I like it, when you're talking about forgiveness, which is a lifelong journey, forgiveness, so I know there's people that can be prayed for and they can let things go and it's gone and that's great, and there's other people where it's a long journey, and for me, I've been in both camps with different things that I've had to have forgiveness. But this word, aphemi, has several meanings, but the one applicable here is to cast off, releasing boats from the shore. So untethering the boat and pushing it off and letting it go. You're laying no claim to the boat anymore. And sure, sometimes there's onshore winds and the boat's going to come back and you're going to have to push it away again, you know. But sometimes it's more like the second one, the releasing the arrow from the bow. Fuck! I'm forgiving. It says at the bottom, without forgiveness, we are tethered to the person who harmed us. And if it's internal, we're struggling with ourselves. You know? How is that? And we become our own liberator when we begin that process. And I put process there because it is a process. I'm not meaning to limit people who have been through terrible things in their lives and have a process they need to release those things. But if we can get that mindset in our head of that aphemia of releasing, of letting go, of casting off, of pushing off, of laying no claim anymore, as opposed to holding on to the rope and pushing the boat, because what will my identity be if I let that go? You know? Well, your identity will be whatever the Spirit has put in your heart to contribute towards the wider population, you know? What is it that God's put on your heart? You know? Let that thing go. Don't hold on to the rope. Don't lay claim to those things of the past. Take a hold of what God's put on your heart, what the Spirit's put on your heart for the common good. Let's work together towards the common good. And for me, just in summary, I won't bother that one. There we are, we'll go up to the summary. This is where it was for me, you know, I mean, we're all familiar with the prodigal son. There was two aspects there that I was looking at when I was trying to look at how do I let this go, you know, where am I at, you know. This is before we went, actually, so when we're selling the house and everything, and the fear of what other people think, the fear of everyone around about me. And it's like, you've got two choices here. You sit in the lap of the prodigal son. This is when he's come home, you know. Okay, Dad's throwing a party for me. Woohoo. So my mate, so he's still, I would think, quite confused about what's going on at that initial party. Well, you know, come back here and, oh, you know, and this is awesome. It's a big party. So his mind is still not sure of what's going on, but his heart is certain. His heart knows that the father has taken him back in. Whereas the older son, the father's saying to him, we may have lost our intimacy, but in my eyes you've never lost your place. And I found myself having to transition from the older son to the prodigal son of going, well, yeah, I had lost my intimacy. I had to learn how to push back into God. I had to lean on those character traits that God had been faithful to show through my life and lean back in. Stop leaning away from what the risk was. Start leaning in to what God has called me into, you know. Lost my intimacy, so leaning in and really making a conscious choice to become more intimate. And as you make that choice, and as that knowledge, and you get the revelation of the knowledge that you're taking in, that's what transforms you. Knowledge only gives you information, revelation gives you transformation. Get the knowledge in there, pray that God will reveal his heart to you through what you're taking in. You get that revelation, get that transformation, it's how you transform yourself. So I take my question at the start from where do I fit to what can I give, and I'm not saying that in an inappropriate fashion of, you know, giving all of yourself so you've got nothing left, but I'm just saying of changing your mindset, changing that heart from the older son to the prodigal son, you know. How's your intimacy, you know? Sure, you've never lost your place in God's heart. Has God lost a little bit of the place in your heart, you know? Pull yourself back in. Get your mind around. My mind may not be sure of where I am, but my heart is certain. So my challenge to you today is, where is your heart at, you know, in terms of church, you know? Did you come in this morning busting a gut with something to say at the AGM? And that's okay. But if it gets in the way of worshipping God, it's not okay, you know? Did you come in on the heart of, I mean, you wouldn't have come in on any worship heart because it's awesome, you know. But, you know, you can come in with the process and, oh, no, this person, oh, no, that, oh, all the jumble of the world. Or you can come in and say, no, I'm just going to come in, soak up what God's got, know what God has called me to, know what God's placed on my heart, and I'm going to go forward for the common good, not get into this Western thing of what about me? What do I get out of it? How do I rate the service? 8 out of 10? What does that even mean? You know? How was church today? You know? What sort of question is that? You know? Church was great because I chose to get up and put something into it. You know? I chose to move forward in my gifting. Let's get to that place. I'm excited as an elder and as a leader of the church if we can, you know, embrace this and run with it. You know? If everyone's turning up on Sunday and during the week, boom, what can I give for the common good? You know, let's do it. So, you know, I just wanted to offer you the opportunity to maybe can we sing that Holy Spirit song? Is that alright? Yep. So I just wanted to offer you the opportunity, you know, where are you at with God? Are you, how's your intimacy? Are you feeling like you're in that place where God is? Were you able to use what God's put on your heart for the common good? Do you feel convicted about nitpicking on things that you've seen? Whatever. We're more than happy to pray for you. We'll do this song.